Please turn again to Joshua chapter 1. Let me read from verse 12 to 14 again. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to half the tribe of Manasseh, spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. Let me read that last part again, underline it. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. We know, Lord, that it's the entrance of thy word that giveth light. And we pray, Lord, that you would come and speak to our hearts just now. We pray, Lord, in thy will and for thy glory, that you would fill us afresh with your gracious Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that there might be a word in season for each and every one of us. We thank thee, Lord, for the privilege of serving thee. We thank thee, Lord, for the privilege of being in the work of God. And Lord, we wouldn't be in it unless you'd called us. We wouldn't be in it, Lord, unless you'd set your hand upon us. But we thank thee, Lord, for the honor it is to preach the word of God. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, each and every one of us, to be hearers of thy word. O God, help us to be doers of thy word. Help us, Lord, not only to hear, but to do. For, O God, we know that obedience is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. We confess, Lord, there are times we hear, and we hear thy truth. We hear thy commandments. We hear thine instruction. And yet, Lord, we're very slow to follow that instruction. O God, forgive us for our sins. We pray thee, help us, Lord, to walk in the light of thy word, obeying it. Oh, we pray, Lord, that you'll give us the grace to obey it, because in our own hearts and lives, we haven't got the ability to obey it. We thank thee, Lord, that the one who gives the grace to save, gives the grace to keep, and gives the grace to obey. And, O God, we pray that you'll bless each one here today that's saved by thy grace. Thou dost know the heart. Man looks in the outward appearance. O God, we're so conscious, Lord, that thou art the one, the God of glory, who knows every heart. And we pray, Lord, that you would search our heart, search my heart. O God, I pray that you would help us, Lord, in these days to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Bless us now. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. After God commanded Joshua to lead the children of Israel across the river Jordan and into the promised land, Joshua began to make preparation to carry out God's command. In verse 10, Joshua instructed the officers of the people. God's servant commanded the officers to prepare the people, because within 3 days the whole nation would be passing over the river Jordan to go in to possess the land which God had promised them. After Joshua instructed the officers of the people, he then turns his attention to the eastern tribes. The eastern tribes were the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. These eastern tribes, of course, had already received their inheritance on the east side of the river Jordan. They did not have to cross Jordan to receive their possession, because God had already given them their land on the east side. But although the eastern tribes had already been given their inheritance, they still had a responsibility to go over Jordan to help their brethren and fight with the rest of the nation until all Israel had entered into their inheritance. Therefore, Joshua here in this portion of scripture that we have read reminds the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half tribe of Manasseh of their duty and of their responsibility of helping their brethren possess the land on the other side, Jordan. In our text, this is emphasized, verse 14. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side, Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. Very simply today, as we take up our studies in Joshua and his times, I want to draw your attention to this command that Joshua gave the eastern tribes. I believe that there are valuable lessons here that you and I can learn, child of God. Those of us who are saved, I believe that there's a very simple and a very clear message from God's precious word. And I pray that the Lord will take his word and write it upon each and every one of our hearts. As we come to consider the command of Joshua to the eastern tribes, I want us to ask the question, what do we learn here about the work of God and serving the Lord? The Lord has indeed saved us to serve him, and he has given us the wonderful privilege of being a part of the work of God here in Bethel, in this part of the vineyard. And it's a privilege, and it's an honor to serve the Lord here in this place. But when we come to consider Joshua's command here to the eastern tribes, what do we learn so that we can apply it to our own situation here in the Church of Christ today? Well, I want to draw your attention to a number of things. First of all, we learn this, that we are all workers together in the cause of Christ. I believe that truth is brought out here in this portion of Scripture. You see, every tribe in Israel were a part of Israel. And every person in every tribe in Israel had their part to play. And while some tribes were more prominent than others, every tribe was valuable, every tribe was important, and every tribe was needed as they went forward in the battle. Therefore, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and even the half-tribe of Manasseh could not be done without as Israel went in to possess the promised land. And Joshua knew this, but more importantly, God knew this. That's why God made the eastern tribes promise, after they had received their inheritance on the east side of Jordan, that they would continue to labor and fight with their brethren and help their brethren until all the land was conquered. Because God knew the value that each tribe contributed to the other. In other words, nothing was won until all was won. And although the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh had received their inheritance, still they had a responsibility and a duty to help their brethren as they crossed over Jordan. And as they entered into the promised land, they had this duty and responsibility to continue to work and to fight and to labor until all the land was possessed. Child of God, is there not a lesson here for you and I, those of us who are saved, as we think about the work of God and as we think about serving the Lord here in this part of God's vineyard? Surely, until Christ returns and brings us all home to heaven, until the Savior comes again and brings us home to our eternal inheritance, We must continue to work together, recognizing that although we're all different, and recognizing that although some may be more prominent in God's work than others, without exception, we're all valuable to God in His work. And that's a wonderful lesson, but it is. It is a lesson and a truth that is established time and time again throughout the precious Word of God. And no more so than over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Just keep your hand in Joshua chapter 1 for a moment and turn over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And if there's a chapter that emphasizes that we're all workers together in the cause of Christ, then this chapter does that, I believe. Of course, the Apostle Paul here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and Paul here is coming to write about the church, the body of Christ. And he's coming to write under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, let us know the importance that every member of the church has in the work of God and in the service of the Lord. Take a look there at verse 12. And as the body is one and have many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Look at verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set, underline that, the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Now that's the part of the scripture reading there that you need to underline. Which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Maybe there's someone here today and you're saved, and you feel that there's little that you can do for the Lord. Perhaps you look upon yourself as feeble, as insignificant. Oh, my friend, the teaching here is simple, that even the most feeble is needed. And I believe that's the truth that the apostle is seeking to put across here in this portion of God's precious, precious word. And I pray that the Lord will write that upon every heart. The truth is that we're all workers together in the cause of Christ and in the church of Christ. Look and listen to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, just a few chapters earlier. In verse 9, he says this, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. But notice again how Paul emphasizes the importance of working together in the work of God. We are all laborers together with God. And indeed in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, again he emphasizes this when he writes his second epistle to the church at Corinth. In verse 1 he says, we then as workers together with Him. Again he emphasizes this wonderful truth of the importance of working together in the work of God. And when we look at Joshua chapter 1, we can see that truth being brought out here, that truth being emphasized here, as the children of Israel made preparation to go over Jordan. The eastern tribes were not going to be left out. They were not going to be left behind because they were needed. They were needed. And the rest of the nation of Israel needed them to pass over Jordan and to help them conquer the rest of their inheritance. But there's something else we learn here. As Joshua impresses upon the eastern tribes their responsibility, turn back to Joshua chapter 1 again. And you'll notice, secondly, that there's no room for slackers in the work of God. You know, just because the eastern tribes had received their inheritance, that did not mean that their duty was over. It did not mean that they could now lie back and relax and take it easy. There was still much work to be done. You see, God expected the eastern tribes to help their brethren. And that's what's being emphasized in verse 14. Look at verse 14 again. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed. Not only were they to go with the other tribes, these eastern tribes, but they were to lead the way. They were to go at the front of the battle. Ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. And Joshua lets them know this in no uncertain terms. The eastern tribes were to continue to help their brethren until all the land was conquered. They were not to be at ease in Zion. Their obligation was to help the other tribes conquer the land west of the Jordan River. And although they had entered into their rest, and although they had been given their inheritance, they couldn't now lie back and do nothing. They couldn't slack off. Rather, the battle was still in front of them, and they were still very much a part of that battle and part of the conquering of the rest of the promised land. Oh, child of God, is there not a message here for each and every one of us? There's still much work to be done today in the work of God. Don't leave that work just for others to do. The eastern tribes could have said to themselves, we have entered into our inheritance. There's no more for us to do. But they did not say that. Indeed, look at what they did say. After Joshua commanded them to help their brethren on the other side, Jordan, take a look at verse 16. This is their response. And what a positive response it was. And they answered Joshua saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. Whosoever, they went on, and they said this, whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be thou strong and of a good courage. They were willing to continue to help their brethren until the work was finished. And although they had received their inheritance, they recognized that they had still much work to do. And they were willing to go and fight until every tribe had their possession. And they were willing to go and help their brethren until their brethren too had entered into their inheritance. Oh, child of God, I wonder, have you come to the place in your Christian life where you just let others do the work? You just let others go in the outreach. You just let others help in the children's work. You just let others come to the Sunday night service. You just let others come to the prayer meeting and pray for the work of God. You have done your work. It's time now for rest. Oh, my friend, let me say this. There'll be enough time for resting when we get home to heaven and get home to glory. And while some may not be able to do as much as they could before, and we all recognize that, there's always something for each and every one of us to do to help our brethren and sisters in the work of God. I know that many of you are not able to do what you once did, but please let me say this even to those who are not able to do what they once did. Keep on praying. You could do nothing better than to pray. Even in your own home, day by day, seek the face of the Lord for the work of God here in Bethel. You know, in the days of Nehemiah, it's interesting to note, I'm not going to read the chapter, but you can read the chapter when you go home, Nehemiah chapter 3. What a wonderful chapter it is. All who went back to build the wall of Jerusalem with Nehemiah helped each other and worked with each other to build that wall. Indeed, the Bible says that they stood side by side right along that wall, building their particular section of the wall. They worked side by side, and everyone had their task to do, and they did it. And of course, we know the story of Nehemiah well, because the wall was finished. But it was only finished because everyone did and played their part. And Joshua here is emphasizing to the eastern tribes, to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, listen, your work's not over. You may have entered into your rest and you may have received your inheritance, but there's still much more to do. And you've got to help your brethren. And you've got to go over Jordan. And you've got to fight on the other side of Jordan until every tribe has received their inheritance. You know, this truth here is brought out wonderfully in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. Just turn over, keep your hand in Joshua again there. Turn over to Joshua or to Luke chapter 5. Now we're emphasizing here very, very simply that there's no room for slackers. All is needed in the work of God. All hands on deck is not what the old saying is. Well, consider here all hands on deck in Luke chapter 5. Look at verse 4. Now when he had left speaking, that's the Lord Jesus, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep. So there's going to be a bit of work here to be done. And let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all the night and we've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners. Look at that, underline verse 7. Which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. They needed help. They needed help to bring in the net. Now, of course, Peter disobeyed the Lord, because the Lord told him to let down the nets, plural. And Peter disobeyed the Lord. He only let down one net. But when he let down this net at the command of Christ, they caught a great number of fishes. Indeed, such was the number of fishes that they caught. The net started to break, and they needed help to bring this net in. And they called to their brethren, come and help us. Come and help us, oh child of God. We need help in the work of God. One man can't do it all. Two men can't even do it all. We need help. We need help. And here we can see, as the disciples served the Lord and obeyed the Lord here in Luke chapter 5, that they also needed help to bring in the nets. And of course, help was given. If you take a look there at end of verse 7, and they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. My, wouldn't it be great if week by week the nets would break? Wouldn't it be great if week by week the boats would begin to sink because of the blessing of God upon his work? Oh, there will be blessing. And we're going to see that just in a moment. If we all go forward together, recognizing that we are useful in the work of God, no matter how few our talents may be, recognizing that we need to help one another. You know, even the great Apostle Paul needed help in the work of God. And of course, when you think of the Apostle Paul, you think of a mighty man. And of course he was
a mighty man. But even this mighty man needed help as he served the Lord and as he went from place to place. This is emphasized in many places, but let me just read you Romans 16, verse 3. It says this: "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus." Now, you study the life of the Apostle Paul, especially the epistles, and you will find that time after time, he refers to those who helped him. Another example is 2 Corinthians 8, verse 23. In that portion of Scripture, Paul describes Titus as his fellow helper. His fellow helper. He needed help. And he recognized that he couldn't do it all himself. He couldn't serve the Lord himself without the help of others. He couldn't see success. He couldn't see the nets being brought in, if you like. Spiritual nets being brought in. And you know, child of God, it's the same today. It's the same today in the work of God. The little hymn goes like this: "There's a work for Jesus ready at your hand. 'Tis a task the Master just for you has planned. Haste to do his bidding. Yield him service true. There's a work for Jesus none but you can do. There's a work for Jesus, humble though it be. 'Tis the very service he would ask of thee. Go where fields are whitened and the laborers few. There's a work for Jesus none but you can do. There's a work for Jesus, precious souls to bring. Tell them of his mercies, tell them of your King. Faint not, grow not weary, he will strengthen you. There's a work for Jesus none but you can do. Work for Jesus day by day. Serve him ever, falter never. Christ obey. Yield him service, loyal true. There's a work for Jesus none but you can do." There's no room for slackers. And the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh were not going to be allowed to slack off. They were not going to be allowed now to enter into their rest and be at ease in Zion, because there was still much more land to possess across the Jordan. They were going to have to go over the Jordan, and they were going to have to help their brethren. Help their brethren. The eastern tribes could not slack off doing their duty just because they had received their inheritance. They had to continue to help. We need help in the work of God. And child of God, you're a part of that work. And you're a part of the Church of Christ. Oh, I pray that God's word today will quicken us, will challenge us, and will help us all to realize that the Lord has called us to serve him in this great body. He has placed us to serve him together. Now there's one final thought. I want you to turn back to Joshua chapter 1 again. I want you to notice something else here. When we all go forward in unity, helping and working with each other, the blessing will follow. The blessing will follow. As all the tribes of Israel went forward together across the Jordan and into the promised land, they conquered. Under God, they conquered the land of promise. And we're going to see this as we continue these studies. We're going to see as Joshua and the tribes go across Jordan and into the promised land, how the Lord gave them victory after victory after victory. We have pointed out in the course of these studies so far that the book of Joshua, Joshua's life, is a wonderful picture of victory in the Christian life, gaining victory over sin and victory over the devil and victory over the flesh. And my, how all we need that today. But you know the reason why they had all these victories? Not only, of course, the Lord was with them, and that's the reason why they had the victory, because God was with them, but there was unity among them. They went forward together. They went forward as one man, one nation.
And the Lord blessed them richly. When there is unity, there is blessing. Unity does not just mean putting up with one another or just tolerating one another. And I believe that many of God's people, that's the case. They just tolerate one another. We know what to say and when to say it. And we know when we're to keep our mouth shut. And I suppose that's a good thing because many Christians don't even know that much. But child of God, listen. Unity is not just tolerating one another. Unity is not just putting up with one another. Unity means, I believe, going forward together with a genuine love in our hearts for our brothers and sisters in Christ. This is the unity that God blesses. And such unity existed among the tribes of Israel. And that's why the Lord blessed them so much. I'm sure that you're all familiar with Psalm 133, verses 1 to 3. And let me read them to you. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And there's no doubt that as the tribes went forward together into the promised land, crossing Jordan, there was that unity because they had seen the blessing of God. They had seen the power of God, and they were going to see the power of God again because the Lord was going to open up the Jordan before them. He had already opened up the Red Sea. And what a blessing that was that day. But God was going to do that again. This time he was going to open up the Jordan. It's hard for you and I to imagine what it must have been like that day when God opened up the River Jordan so that the nation could walk through on dry ground and enter into the promised land and start. My friend, they would have had no fear. The children of Israel had no fear. Because they knew that God was with them and they knew the power of God was upon them. Indeed, as we read on in this next chapter, chapter 2, the people of Jericho, the fear of God had gripped the people of Jericho and the dread of the children of Israel had gripped their hearts as well. And the nations were just going to melt before them because God was on their side. Oh, child of God, the Lord is on our side. What should we fear? Who should we fear? The Lord can open up the Jordan. And do you not think that as they walked through the Jordan, the tribes, that there was unity? Oh, I tell you, there was unity. Because they had one goal and they had one purpose and they had one aim. And that purpose and that aim and that goal was to serve the Lord and to obey the Lord and to live for the Lord. I wonder, is there someone here today and you're in total rebellion to God's word, child of God? And you're just going down a road that you want to go down. Well, be very careful. Be very careful. But you can see the unity here. And verse 2 says, it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. Now look at verse 3, the end of it. After we're told about this unity, and there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. There's where the blessing of God lies. Child of God, when there's unity, there is blessing. And indeed, Peter brought this out. Turn over to 1 Peter, I think it's chapter 3. And Peter brings this out again in the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. We read these words, finally, be ye all of one mind. There's the unity, be all of one mind. Having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. You see, there's real unity. Not just tolerating one another. Not just putting up with one another. Real unity among God's people is when God's people love one another and seek to help one another the best they can. knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. My, look at that. That ye should inherit a blessing. I want to be blessed of God. Then there must be unity. And that's one of the truths, one of the lessons, I believe, that's brought out here as Joshua commanded the eastern tribes to go over Jordan and help their brethren. Someone asked me why I thought there was so much blessing in temple public. The answer I give them was this, that it was evident that all the churches were working together. They were singing off the same hymn sheet. And they wanted the blessing of God. Every one of them wanted the blessing of God. And they got the blessing of God. And it wasn't because of any preacher. It was because the people went forward together in unity, wanting God to work. That's the secret. That's the secret. Oh, child of God, let us help one another and pray for one another and go forward together. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for the challenge of thy word today. And we thank thee, Lord, that you have promised to bless us. Oh God, you have blessed us in so many ways. Even in spite of ourselves, Lord, you've blessed us at times. But oh God, how we long to see revival and how we long to see the outpouring of thy Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that you'll defeat the devil. We're so conscious of his devices. And oh God, we pray that you'll bind the strong man in Jesus' precious name. Give us unity in our church. Give us unity in our families. Give us unity in our lives. Give us unity, Lord, I pray thee. O God, give us an outpouring of your gracious Holy Spirit in our very midst. And teach us, Lord, what true unity really is. O God, we pray that you'll touch all of our lives. Forgive us for our sins. Lord, we confess our sins to thee today. And Lord, we confess that we are only but sinners, saved by grace. Those of us who are saved, Lord, we confess that. We need thee, Lord, to come. Oh God, we thank thee that you were with Israel when they crossed over the Jordan. Oh God, help us to see thy power in this, our day and generation. We believe, Lord, that we have experienced a little bit of it over these past weeks. But, O God, we pray that you'll let it come again, that you'll move in our hearts afresh. We know, Lord, that except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. O God, we pray that you would move by your gracious Holy Spirit. We cry, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon us. We ask of thee. And, Lord, help us to be like the eastern tribes. Help us to be willing, Lord. Although you've blessed us with so much, you've given us as if it were our inheritance, but help us, Lord, to help others as they would enter into their inheritance. Oh God, bless your word this day in Jesus' precious, precious name we ask it. Amen.